Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. Hope you had an excellent weekend. We've got a lot to get to. Dan Andros is here to talk about a couple of very important topics. Israel and Sydney Sweeney. One's might is slightly more important, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. We're going to start, though, by doing Texas Democrats, a vision of courage. Yes, the Texas Democrats are on the run again. Texas Democrats decamp. That's what they're calling it, decamping. They've decamped to Illinois to deny Republicans a quorum on redistricting. Yes, they've run away from the state to avoid votes because they don't want Texas to do their, you know, their legal right, which is redistricting in the middle of a 10-year period. And the Democrats, to that note, released a brand new theme song.
Brave little Robin ran away.
No!
Bravely ran away, away.
I didn't!
When danger reared its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail.
No!
Chickened out, bravely taking.
I never did.
He beat a very brave retreat.
Oh, Lord!
The brave Sir Robin.
Ah, yes, the brave Sir Robin of the Democratic Party. They're gone. They're gone now. They have fled the state. The Texas State House Democrats fled, filed off buses and Ubers into Cram County Party headquarters at a strip mall Saturday night alongside J.B. Pritzker, the horrible governor of Illinois, to rail against what they charged was a racist, unfair, and undemocratic attempt to overhaul the Lone Star State's political map. Texas House Democratic Caucus Chair Gene Wu said he believed about 57 Democrats have left the state, with the bulk staying in Illinois for at least the immediate future. Other House Democrats were in Boston and Albany. Now, why would they go to Illinois? Well, it's mostly J.B. Pritzker. Pritzker says the Texas Democrats who fled the state will be protected amid arrest threats. So Republicans are saying, well, we could technically arrest them for not doing their job. And it's interesting because, like, when you have a state, like if we were, let's say we decided we were going to pass a bill to build a new highway and we were going to spend $100 million on this new highway. And we started spending the money. We gave it to the construction companies and then they didn't build the highway. What would happen? This is what we're doing with our representatives. We're paying them to be representatives, to represent their districts, and they're not showing up to work. They're just stealing money from taxpayers. And normally that's a crime. But so that's the reason for the threat. Now, J.B. Pritzker is saying he's going to make sure he stops all that. Pritzker said they're here in Illinois. We're going to do everything we can to protect every single one of them and make sure that, because we know they're doing the right thing and we know they're following the law, Pritzker told reporters at a press conference Sunday night alongside Texas state lawmakers. If Ken Paxton, who doesn't follow the law, it's the leaders of Texas who are attempting not to follow the law, referring to Texas's Republican attorney general. They're the ones that need to be held accountable. Now, I'm not exactly sure what J.B. Pritzker can do to protect Texas Democrats in his state, you know, other than stand in front of them, because he's incredibly large. So if someone's coming to get them, they'd have to walk all the way around Pritzker. And if you've ever walked around, like, you know, a stadium, you know how long it takes to get there. And you know, they could kind of stay on the opposite side. Like, if you're coming for him, you could go around Pritzker, and then the representatives could kind of slowly move around Pritzker at the same time, kind of like an orbiting planet. And that might protect you, because they'd never actually see the representatives. So that's at least one way he could protect it. But outside of that, I'm not exactly sure what he can do. The law is the law. And it would be an interesting thing to see one state stand up against another state's arrest. It does happen from time to time. What can happen to these representatives? Well, first of all, they can get fined a heck of a lot. Texas Democrats face the risk of a $500 a day fine. The Republican-controlled legislature approved the punishment in 2023, 2 years after state Democrats left last time, for 3 weeks to block an elections bill from progressing. Abbott is threatening House Democrats with removal and felony charges. Democrats hatched a deliberate plan not to show up for work. for the specific purpose of abdicating the duties of their office and thwarting the chamber's business. The absconded Democrat House members were elected to meet and vote on legislation, not to prevent votes that may not go their way. This is, of course, very, very true. Abbott is standing up and saying, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm done dealing with these people. Abbott also suggested that he would seek felony charges against Democrats, claiming that some have violated bribery laws. I will use my full extradition authority to demand the return to Texas of any potential out-of-state felons. And that, just focus on that bribery word for just a moment. I don't have any evidence of bribery here. I have not seen that evidence, if any of it exists as of yet. What I will say here is that J.B. Pritzker wants to run for president in 2028. There's a reason why these Texas Democrats are going to Illinois. Like, I don't know if you notice this. It's not the next state. They're not hanging out right across. Like, there's an Indian reservation right across the state line in Texas. They could all hang out at the casino, have a great time, and make all the points, and all the media would still show up for it. They went to Illinois for a reason. And one of the reasons they're in Illinois is because J.B. Pritzker has lots and lots of money. He's one of the wealthiest guys in politics, not quite to the Trump level, but, you know, in the vicinity. He's a billionaire type guy, and he's going to be throwing a lot of money around. And people, there's a lot of people inside the political world, especially on the left, that recognize that, know that there's a lot of money coming from J.B. Pritzker in the next few years, most likely, and are realizing they should get on his good side right now. That's a thing that's happening. I talked to a lot of people in Washington. Everyone knows about it. Everyone is playing this guy. Everyone knows, you know, the consultant class is like, look, our next gravy train, our next Bloomberg type gravy train might be coming from this guy. We better get on board right now. Now, he's not Bloomberg wealthy, so it's not going to be that good of a gravy train. But anyway, that's maybe the reason why some of these people have chosen Illinois for their little vacation they're taking right now. Now, this is all about redistricting. And it's interesting to see because I don't like the redistricting process. I don't like the way that it works. I don't like the fact that we draw these little districts and we gerrymander them to win, you know, as many seats as possible. I kind of wish they were just a bunch of squares. This is how the founders decided it at the beginning. By the way, this is what they wanted, was just a bunch of squares with a certain population in there, and that was it. That's not the way. That's not reality, though. And we can all wish for the world that we want, but we are living in the world that we live in, and we have to figure out how to make the best of this. Because this is the situation that exists. And the question is this egregious from Republicans? Is this some insane thing that no one else does? Or is this just typical kind of politics in action? And the truth of it is interesting. Mid-decade congressional redistricting in Texas, what to know and how it works. This comes from the Texarkana Gazette. In 2025, and Texas is redrawing its congressional districts. If the move seems unusual, that's because it is, though it's not unprecedented. Governor Greg Abbott set the 30-day special session for Monday, adding more than a dozen other items to legislators' to-do lists. While redistricting is traditionally done every 10 years, it's not unheard of to redistrict mid-decade. State Republicans gained control of the full legislature after the 2002 election and sought to pick up more seats in Congress. Democrats had previously controlled the House, and the congressional maps had been drawn by courts following the 2000 census. This has also happened, I think it happened in Oregon. I think it happened recently in New York. It does happen. It's just not super common. So they're sort of like, you know, pushing the envelope a little bit, but it's still within the realms of normalized behavior. Gavin Newsom says he is pissed. He says Trump's going to steal 5 congressional seats in Texas, gerrymander his way to a 2026 win. Well, 2 can play at that game. Special sessions, special elections, ballot initiatives, new laws. It's all on the table when democracy is on the line. Now, Gavin Newsom, of course, is a horrible human being. There's just really not any way. Is there another way to state a guy who sleeps with his best friend's wife while they're working for his campaign? I don't know what else, what other tag you want to put on that. But that's the type of person he is. And I'm not even going into the fact that he's out dining at nice restaurants where he's keeping everybody else in the state prison. So in prison. So I don't know exactly how you categorize a Gavin Newsom other than just calling him horrible. But basically, he's wanted to do all these things. He wants to push the envelope as well. And now he's just using Texas as justification for that process. Now, one of the things the Democrats are doing are spreading these maps virally that look really, really gerrymandered. They're like these little slivers of lines and districts. Here's some of them. This is what they look like. You know, they look like little spirals and like little slabs of land that barely connect. Some of them don't even look like they do connect. It's almost like the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Like they are just like these are not districts. They're not the squares I was just talking about. And, you know, I don't know. They got all panicked about it. Here's another one. Again, slivers of land, lots of weird north-south districts and districts that curve around each other. They put these out there to scare everyone. Of course, in reality, these are not the maps even being considered. What are they? What did they spread and get millions and millions of likes on? The map generated, garnered the attention of journalists and Democrats alike and generated heated online discussion. But a quick look at the map's data shows that it might not be a serious proposal. For one, the map is listed under the Texas Legislative Council's Plans Submitted by the Public tab. When Cron called the Texas Legislative Council redistricting office, they confirmed that members of the public sometimes submit maps to the council. In this case, the first map, the one that went viral, was submitted by a private citizen. It's just from some guy. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make my own map. How about this one? And he submitted it. And that's it. It's not even being considered. A simple search on the Texas Legislative Council's website revealed the name of the map maker. They contacted a person with that name through social media who confirmed they had created the map and answered questions based on the condition that any additional identifying information not be published. He stressed that he is a hobbyist. You thought you were a nerd. Oh, 100% chance the guy who made that map listens to the show. I know you're out there. There's no other nerdier show than this one. 100% chance that guy is listening to this right now. First of all, hilarious. And I can't even get mad at you. If I'm a hobbyist who's making a map, and my map is like, I'm the guy who makes the alternate redistricting maps for Texas. First of all, thank you for listening for so long. We know you're here. Secondly, you should come on the show and explain it because it's hilarious, even though I know you don't want to be found out. Actually, you'll probably be tortured and fired from your job if you do that. So maybe don't do that. But whatever. He said he's stressed. He's a hobbyist who is not in any way connected to any political parties, groups, or officials. And then he submitted the map simply as a thought experiment. I love it. He also noted that several other publicly created maps have been submitted by other enthusiasts. Look, we all know you map nerds are enthusiasts to the show. And it's fine. It's okay. I want you to know you're not alone. Okay? There's like three other people who are just like you. I would say there are literally dozens of us, but there aren't. It's just you guys. But that's okay. You're as nerdy as I am, and I freaking love it. The Texas GOP is now jabbing at Jasmine Crockett with their proposed new map. She calls a spiteful move and a red flag. This is the one thing where I think Republicans are really screwing up here. And I can't stress this enough. Do not redistrict to get Jasmine Crockett out of Congress. I personally would support, as a map hobbyist, I am going to submit a map that has a district just around Jasmine Crockett's house. And I want her to be the only person who's voting. So she wins forever. I want her to be in Congress for eternity. Okay? Now, I will admit, she's probably so annoying that if other people are in the House with her, they might vote against her and she might lose. But it's a risk I'm willing to take. I think whatever we can do to guarantee Jasmine Crockett never leaves Congress, I am for. Keep Jasmine around. We even have shirts, Jasmine Crockett 28, because we want her to run for president. StuDoesMerch.com, StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. Jasmine Crockett 28 for Democratic nominee only. Nothing. I don't want her to win the presidential election. That would be catastrophic for our nation. But I would like her to win the nomination. Just throwing that out there. Okay, a couple things about this, because this is one of those things where I think we look at the really bad polling, and I have a bunch of polling on the Democratic Party. Maybe we'll get to later today or tomorrow, just showing that people hate the Democrats right now. The worst poll numbers they've ever had. People, it's catastrophic. Okay, it's easy to feel like things are going really well right now in a lot of ways. It's important to tap the brakes on that feeling, because we are entering a period here where traditionally the party in power almost always loses seats. When the Republican, there are a couple exceptions to this, very few though, you almost always lose seats in that first midterm election. And that is what the Republicans are facing. Now, it might not be catastrophic. The problem is, even if it's not catastrophic, they could still lose the House. They only have a, what is it, a 4 or 5 seat majority. So it is a, you know, a 4 or 5 swap, they could lose the majority. That is a real pickle to be in. So when you're thinking of this, and the reason why, like you're asking, well, why would they be redistricting? Why are they doing that? They're doing that outwardly because they want extra House seats, because they are worried about what's going to happen in this midterm election in 2026. That is why they're doing it. They're admitting it. They're straight out saying, this is why we're doing this. We want more seats. We think it's more representative. Now, politics, by the way, can be a factor in these decisions, and that was ruled on in the Supreme Court relatively recently. You can't do it over racial lines. There's a couple different things, reasons you can't draw certain gerrymandered lines, but politics is not one of them. You can do this. So, I mean, ideally, I'd like it to be a different thing, but this is basically what's going on here. Republicans are trying to get 5 extra seats because they're worried they're going to lose in 2026. That's what they're doing, straight out. So if a party is acting that way, we should all realize, just because we see bad poll numbers for Democrats, just because we see, you know, decent numbers for Trump at times, don't get too comfortable. This is, there's not a wide margin here. What they're doing right now is a strategy to try to win the midterms. And that is what they're in the middle of doing right now. And this feels, as I said, kind of icky. Like, I don't really like the idea of, you know, doing crazy redistricting to win seats. But the Trump era has brought something new to the table. And this is something I notice all the time when I talk to friends, when I see on social media, when you see in conservative media coverage. Trump has set the precedent that it's okay to sort of push these lines as far as you can. Trump likes to do it. People who like Trump like to do it. And you see this phrase used over and over again. This is what I voted for. This is what I voted for. This is what I voted for. And the reason why people voted for that is because they saw Democrats doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And we were the victims of unfair sort of treatment and unfair tactics from the Democrats over and over and over and over and over again. And people got sick of it. And like, I'm not going to, what are we going to do? We're going to sit here and get rolled over, over and over again? Like, that doesn't seem like a good plan. How can we do this? So these things that, and this is perfectly legal. This is no, there's no legal line here that's even, we're even close to. I mean, you know, Pritzker aside, he is, you know, completely insane, right? He is a guy who's trying to draw attention to himself for a presidential run and saying that it's illegal is just him making it up. In reality, this is legal. They can do it. You might not like it. You might feel a little icky about it, and that's okay. It's good. First of all, it's good to keep contact with that person, right? The person inside of you that's like, hey, I don't know, does this feel right? Don't lose contact with that person. Stay in touch. Hey, write them a letter from time to time. Get a text. Trade a couple texts here and there just to remind yourself, hey, these things are important. You don't want to go too far off the reservation on this stuff. But Trump has given sort of this permission slip to people to be like, you know what? I'm not going to break rules, but we can bend them here and there. We can push them to their fullest extent before they break, because because we're seeing the Democrats do it. And if we don't go that direction, we're just going to wind up getting beaten over the head over and over and over again. So when you say, hey, this is what I voted for, we are there. Trump is doing that in the presidency, I think, to great effect. You know, people are doing this in Congress to great effect. We're seeing this all over the place. You know, your request to the DJ has been granted. He's playing My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion for you right now. So get out there and dance. It's happening. This is all going on. It's just important to make sure that we don't go too far, that we stay, first of all, in touch with the Constitution, number one, the law. That's really, really important. And then you have to look at these things and take them seriously and judge them on a case-by-case basis. This doesn't give you full, you know, full reign to go out there and do whatever the hell you want. But it does give you, I think, this era is pretty clear that if you don't play hardball, you're going to get that hardball thrown back in your face and it's going to crack your skull open. And nobody wants that either. We've got some other big stories that are kind of related to this. A lot of hardball being played all over the country and the world right now. We'll get into that with Dan Andros next. One of my favorite things is when something that you already love becomes even better, like a great sequel, a remastered album, an upgraded classic that actually delivers. It's kind of rare with Hollywood these days, but It's not rare with Raycon. Raycon just pulled off a great one with their fan favorite Everyday Earbuds Classic, now featuring active noise cancellation. I gotta tell you, I love my Raycons. They're awesome. They're way better. Like, I have the Apple ones. They're way better than that. The only reason I ever stuck to, even held on to the Apple ones was because they, you know, it was that noise cancellation feature. And on planes, everywhere else, the Raycons were perfect. But like on planes, I needed that a little extra boost, especially if there's some whiny kid behind me or, you know, somebody just was like, you know, you're sitting right on the engine. You need that noise cancellation. Well, the ones I had, at least, didn't have that feature. They've got it now in the Everyday Earbuds, and these are awesome. They sound great. They get rid of that background chatter. They really let you dial into whatever you're listening to, whether it is an audiobook or a playlist or an incredible podcast talking to mostly map nerds that you happen to be a fan of. The sound is fantastic. It's on par with brands that charge double. But Raycons give you the immersive audio experience without that crazy sticker shock. 8 hours of playtime, 32-hour battery life. You're going to like that. The chargeable case. It's just fantastic. I love these things. You're going to love them too. I buy them for presents for everybody too. It's like my go-to present for people because everybody loves great headphones, and you know, not everyone's tried the Raycons yet. They always like them better than the alternatives. It's buyraycon.com/do, buyraycon.com/do. Get 20% off the fan favorite Everyday Earbuds Classic right now. Raycon 20% off Everyday Earbuds Classic only at buyraycon.com/do, buyraycon.com/do.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30Tage. PayPal S. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
I am joined now by Dan Andros. He's managing editor of CBN News, host of CBN Quick Start podcast, which you can, of course, subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. Dan, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Stu. Thanks for having me.
I've got two things for you, and they're very different. I've got one that's like serious and really important, and then one that's still kind of important, but also fun. Which one do you want to do first?
See? All right, let's go with the serious one.
Let's get that out of the way. I want to start in Israel, and this is to me an infuriating situation that's going on right now. We've had reports of all this famine going on in Gaza. That's not accurate by any measure of what the definition of the word famine is, but there have been children that have been shown and looking like they are starving. We later find out they are instead inflicted with these terrible separate ailments that have nothing to do with their starvation. Their family members also seem to be well fed. And then at the same time, all this is happening. It gets the front page of every newspaper in the country. We then start getting images of what's happening to the hostages that are being held by Hamas. And that is in current present tense. They are being held by Hamas currently. And the media coverage, a little different. I don't know if you've noticed that, Dan.
Yeah, it's definitely been way more. It's not that they haven't covered. I have seen reports on it, but it's with the intensity and the front page nature of it. I mean, we saw for a couple of days, Stu, the news headline, maybe even a week, dominated by the headline, starvation fears in Gaza. And they showed, a lot of them showed, AP, Reuters, others showed a picture of a boy, a 9-year-old boy, who it turns out wasn't starving. In fact, like you mentioned, the relatives, the mom holding him looked pretty well fed. What is she? She's eating all the food and not giving any to him? Is this what is happening here? Is what they're alleging? But it turns out, according to his own mother, the boy's name, who's Muhammad, she said he suffers from a muscle disorder for which he receives specialized nutrition and physical therapy, and said he was happy and able to sit upright when those things were provided to him. So it sounds like, I mean, I'm not saying it's a wonderland in Gaza, but it sounds like this kid is getting some treatment and is suffering from something completely unrelated. Now, I'm not saying that there are no people that are having trouble eating or feeding their family in Gaza. Obviously, it's a war situation and it's likely horrible in there. But A, that is caused by Hamas, not being willing to end this war. They want to keep fighting Israel. So if you've got a beef with what's going on with malnutrition and people, you know, having problems in Gaza, take it up with Hamas. Why are you complaining about Israel at this point? It doesn't make any sense other than you just hate Israel.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating because it's so consistent with what Hamas did on October 7th, right? Like, they knew they couldn't beat Israel in a war. They knew it was going to cost thousands of lives of people in their area, their own fighters, but certainly some innocents were going to be, you know, part of collateral damage in war. They knew all that when they did it. They knew they weren't going to, they couldn't win a physical battle against Israel. They did this because they wanted the world to react the way it's reacting. That's why they went and killed all those people on October 7th. And they were certain that they would win the PR battle. Even so certain that they would film these murders, they would film the rapes, they would allow documentation of all these things because they knew the media and the world would still go against Israel. The same thing here. They're in the middle of a PR victory, if you will, with all this starvation talk. This is what they want out of the situation. And they're so confident in their victory when it comes to PR that they're willing at the same time to release footage of hostages starving to death. I mean, incredible, Dan.
That is one of the more incredible things to me. This is not like Israeli propaganda that they dug up and found and were like, oh, are they editing video? Like, Hamas showed this. They're like, yep, we're going to put this out there. It's almost like they sit around going, let's see how ridiculous, you know, we can make this. I mean, because if you would have put the over under on it, Stu, of how many days it would have taken after the October 7th attack. Because I remember there was like true kind of everyone seemed horrified there for a few days. It wasn't like 10 minutes. And because I think it was happening over, I forget what day it was, but I feel like it was on a weekend because I started seeing videos when I woke up on Twitter and on X and seeing like, you know, Hamas guys on. I'm like, what are these people doing with why are these going viral? And then, you know, once I started learning the story, you know, everyone was shocked and horrified. And I feel like that was the global response for, you know, a couple days. But if you would have predicted right then, Stu, and I remember we probably talked about this at least off camera. I don't know if we talked about it on air, like how long till they turn?
Yep.
What would you have given it at that point? That horrible of attack, they killed like 1,400 civilians or something in that area. And how long would you have given it if they would have put an over and under on it?
You know, it's interesting. I think I did talk about that on the air, at least on radio, maybe here as well. And I don't know what I said. I may have said a month. I may have said 6 months. I may have said a couple weeks. I don't know what I said. But there was a certainty to it. I remember feeling really sure that it was going to just, after some period of time, once it feels like it's not this current thing going on, you know, like you're in the middle, they're still counting bodies. Once that period passes, the world will turn against Israel. The media will turn against Israel. It happens every single time. And, you know, we did talk about that off the air as well. Like, you knew it was coming. It was just a question of how long.
Yeah, and I would say I have to go back and look to see. I don't know what you could say was the exact tipping point of when you were like, okay, it's turned. But it wasn't long. I would say if I would have to go back and guess, I'd probably put it out. I would say it was a week.
Yeah.
Maybe like a week, maybe two tops to where people were like, you know, how about them Jews, though?
Right. It happened quickly. It really did. And that is basically the intelligence of many of the critiques.
Right. Yes.
You know, that is it. And, you know, and I will say it's throughout. It's very pervasive in the media. It's very pervasive on the left. Obviously, there's a giant wing of the Democratic Party that seems to be pro Hamas, not even just anti-Israel, but like literally pro Hamas. And then there is a sliver as well on the right, which is it's making me uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with criticizing Israel. I don't think there's anything wrong with even saying, you know, like, I wish they would handle this aid thing differently, or, you know, I wish they would, declare victory and make this be over. We've even seen commentary like that from the Trump administration. I can understand those critiques. I don't necessarily agree with them, but I can understand them. When the only thing that you, when we're a day after October 7th and you're out there like members of Congress were protesting against Israel on October 8th and 9th, it's hard for me to see anything else other than anti-Semitism.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's just, it's the sad reality of the straw men that are created. So when you talk about that, that's what I think of. I think, oh, you're not allowed to criticize Israel. No, clearly you are, because you do it all the time and no one does anything to you. You're not canceled or anything like that. So to me, that is one of the more egregious sort of strawman arguments that pop up. Oh, what? We're not allowed to criticize Israel? No, you can, but you need a legitimate criticism. No, you're just calling me an anti-Semite. Well, when you say the Jews control everything in the world, that's a problem, because it's A, ridiculous, and B, it's just not true.
I will also say they're constantly like getting targeted for genocide. They must be very bad at controlling the world if they're controlling the world all the time.
Right. And also then we'd see Donald Trump would say, Trump got him to not shoot a bunch of missiles at Iran or whatever, you know, that was going on at the time. Trump was always persuading. I was like, wait a minute. I thought the Jews controlled Trump. I thought that's how this was working.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
I'm very confused on the order of events here. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
I also want to give you a story that, you know, at least a little bit less serious, although I think there's some serious elements to it. The Sydney Sweeney story. Now, this has been going on forever. And I honestly am at the point when I see Sydney Sweeney, first of all, she always looks fantastic. She's a very lovely lady. But like, you know, I'm kind of rolling my eyes, honestly, at the coverage of this. I will say some interesting things did happen over the last 24 hours, one of which was it does seem to be confirmed that Sydney Sweeney is a Republican. Her voter information, I guess, was outed. She registered as a Republican in Florida. I will say I think it's really dumb that this stuff's public. I don't know why it's like OK that we go investigate everyone's political life. That doesn't need to be public information. What party you register under? That's dumb.
Nope.
But secondly, Donald Trump did a Truth Social claim here. Post here, and he set these two things aside next to each other, which I thought was interesting. Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle. The jeans are flying off the shelves. Go get them, Sydney. On the other side of the ledger, Jaguar, a stupid and seriously woke advertisement that is a disaster. The CEO just resigned and the company is in turmoil. If you remember this ad, this was the copy nothing ad that came out, and everyone was like, what the heck is that? It was like something that seemed like it was out of that peak woke 2022 type area and then came out in 2024. Everyone was like, what is going on with this? Now that CEO is gone. Sydney Sweeney's doing ads that are kind of like more classic ads. Beautiful girl modeling jeans. Is it true, Dan? Is America back? Are we out of that woke period?
First of all, I would say it feels like we're moving out of it. It does feel like it is no longer a safe territory to be ridiculously woke at this point. It sure seems like if you start doing that, it's probably not going to go well for you. People are essentially just sick of it. But yeah, I mean, I feel like my critique though of the, first of all, I don't even know who Sydney Sweeney is. I had never heard of her before this American Eagle ad. It shows you how,
you're not tuned into White Lotus.
Knee deep, I am. Not watching that show. It's sad. You can, you know, at Dan Andros on the X, go ahead, make fun of me.
Yeah.
I don't even know who she is. And then also, I haven't even watched the ad because I'm like, all right, I don't know how old she is, but in the picture, she looks like 18 or 17.
She's 27 or 28. Come on now, Dan.
All right, but she looks young. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, okay, so it's fine, right? We're moving out of the woke stuff. Nobody wants that. But I don't know if we want to be like, yeah, America's back. Look at this. We got half naked teenagers crawling around cars. Like, yay, I guess. So yeah. We're back to being pervs?
Well, it's an interesting point because I think, you know, I think the relief, especially from the right as a reaction to the American Eagle thing, is more like it's much better than where we were, right? Like, it's much better, she's, I don't know, you say you haven't seen the ads yet, like you may have seen some of the pictures. I mean, they're not particularly revealing ads. They're playful sexual ads. You know, she's known for being well endowed for a lady. So there's some of that, but it's not like egregiously like she's half naked. I mean, she's wearing jeans and clothing and, you know, they joke a little bit about her appearance. But they're not like certain, like if you remember back in the day, Dan, I think you were back at the Blaze when we were when the Paris Hilton ad, the Hardee's ad,
yes,
came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the Hardee's ad.
And yep, she was, you know, rolling around on the coat of the car eating
right.
Hardee's.
It's not to that
it's
level?
It's not like that at all. It's much more okay. much more common than that. But I think, like, the idea, what we're thinking of, you know, on the right, as this as a relief that we're no longer doing the right. Jaguar thing. We're now back to at least where we were. Your point is interesting, though, because, like, I don't know if the American right, largely a religious conservative audience, should be like, hey, lots of boobs on TV again. Right. We've made it. I mean, that's probably right. not the right reaction either.
Right. More boobs and butts. Yay. Let's go. The moral majority is back in power again. Like, yeah. Now, I mean, I understand the sentiment. Like, you're just wanting, you're so excited that we're not seeing whatever that Jaguar thing was there, which, by the way, don't copy anything. It's like you literally copied every DEI thing that's going on right now. That's all you're doing right
yes.
now. You actually violated your own ad. It's hypocritical in its awfulness. But I think, yeah, people are so, I mean, we've talked about the pendulum a lot. That's my big theory. I'm like, at some point, this thing's got to swing back. Like, you cannot do this and get away with it forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and particularly with young people, because they have to feel so suppressed that they can't say actual truths. Like, I'm not allowed to mock some dude who shows up in a dress and he's 6'8 and 240 pounds or whatever. And he's obviously a dude and I can't make fun of that.
Or even notice. Yeah.
Or even know. And I have to celebrate it.
Yeah.
You can only suppress that for so long before it just says they say enough is enough.
Yeah. And it was clear. What's amazing about the Sydney Sweeney ads are, like, they are not right wing ads at all. They're just normal ads. They're like ads that you would expect out of a company that wants right. to sell their jeans. Like, that is
right.
what it
it's
is.
It's like the sex sells. Like, yeah. this is what you would do. Like, the other stuff is like you're trying to. It's like, hey, I don't know, you know, Eskimo celebrities like. In your ads, like that's sort of what the DEI thing is like. You're taking some obscure random thing and trying to make it like this big thing that everyone has to latch onto, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's people are so like, no, like after 2020, I guess you had this like period of safety where they could just unleash progressive ideology. And I think people have gotten enough of the progressive utopia over the last few years. We've gotten a glimpse into this is sort of like the family man thing, like for politics. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a glimpse now into hopefully we all snap awake and it's like back into 2020, we can sort of like redo some things.
Mm.
But you know, the whole family man, the Nick Cage, like he gets a glimpse into what his life would have been like if he married the sweet other woman that he abandoned at the airport.
Right.
So we've gotten a glimpse of what progressive utopia looks like. We saw the drag queens prancing around the White House. They've gotten their wish. Hey, let's go ahead and ban all the police and get rid of abolish the police departments and abolish ICE. We've seen this. And it's as horrible as we've all thought.
Right. It's funny because, like, you think of part of it, I just think is a relief that we're no longer there. And that's yeah. what all of this is. It's like, I think of the same way of like when I think back to those moments in COVID when we were all like locked in our homes or whatever we had to do, couldn't go out to restaurants because they weren't open. And like yeah. the relief, just thinking back to that, I just feel a sense of relief. It's right. not necessarily embracing everything that's going on today. It's just a sense of relief. And I think like we're just starting to wake up and realize how bad that 21, 22, 23 era really was.
Somebody, the worst.
Somebody posted the other day, you know, this weekend and it went viral. And I don't remember who posted. I apologize. But it was a retweet of an NHL tweet from the National Hockey League.
I saw it.
You saw yeah. this. And it was yes. like trans men are men. Trans women are women.
NHL.
Yeah. What the hell is the Hockey League telling us that about? Like, it's just absolutely insane. And I think like we at least are past that. I don't know if this goes the right direction from here.
I know.
But let me give you the last word here now.
Well, I will just say, I think we're at the point now, Stu. I think that pendulum has gone so far. Who I don't want to create any public stir. I'm just going about my business, my day to day. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to be that guy. But when I walk into like a store, a convenience store or something, and it's one of the ones that still has like the plastic barrier up.
Oh gosh.
In front, or like they just, you know, they're just too lazy to take it down. They obviously don't care at this point, but they just haven't done it. I'm almost ready to go, listen. you need to take this thing down or I'm never coming back in again, or I'm protesting out here. Just so stupid.
Yes, it's so stupid. Or the people who are, I saw a woman walk across the street in front of my car yesterday, and she was outside by herself wearing a mask crossing
the mask.
Road. But by the way, crossing the road in front of my car. Not really caring whether I could have easily run her over.
But she's got the mask on, and also it's in Texas in August or July.
Yes.
And it's like a million degrees, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to put this cloth thing on my mask, on my face, just in case. I mean, it's just peak lunacy.
Lunacy. All right, Dan Andrews, we went long there, but that was great. I'm managing editor over at CBN News. Be sure to check him out on the CBN Quick Start podcast as well. Head over there and subscribe to it today. Dan, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
You ever feel like you're kind of running on fumes? You know, you're exhausted, you're stressed, you're dealing with some kind of pain. But instead of reaching for another pill or sitting through another doctor visit, a lot of people are now turning to something simpler. It's CBD from CB Distillery. They use quality plant-based ingredients that people could trust. And they offer a full lineup of solutions for, you know, stress and better sleep and post-workout soreness. Even CBD options for your pets. The Soothing Relief Balm is a customer favorite, and sleep products have been have a strong following as well among the audience. Everything is crafted with care and transparency. And if you are tired of feeling run down, if you are tired of feeling terrible, you want to feel better in your own body, check out cbdistillery.com. Right now, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Go to cbdistillery.com. Use the promo code STEW. cbdistillery.com. The promo code is STEW. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. It's cbdistillery.com. Check it out now. cbdistillery.com. Promo code STEW. I've got three stories to get through here in just over a minute to do it. So let me go. Trump administration planning to roll back abortion access for veterans. This is just a lie. This is not true. They're trying to roll back abortion access for everyone, which, by the way, is the right thing to do because we don't want veterans' children to not be born. We also don't want non-veterans' children to not be born. So seemed like a good policy for everybody. Let births occur. There you go. Plastics crisis is costing $1.5 trillion in global deaths and injuries, a report says. This report, which it says it's from The Lancet, but then The Lancet later says it's citing another study. Every once in a while, you look at one of these things, these stories that comes out, and you just know it's not true. I don't know exactly yet why or how it's not true, but I will get back to you with this. We will look into the study, and I will show you that this is nonsense, because it's obviously nonsense. I mean, it's one of those on the surface, it's obviously nonsense. And finally, colleges are trying a new way to meet a declining enrollment and revenue. They're partnering with senior living providers, which is interesting, a unique solution, they say, to decline enrollment. Basically, you'd have college students living with seniors in senior housing, which is honestly sounds like the plot of a Will Ferrell movie. This seems like old school. Oldest school? Whatever it is, it's coming out soon. Will Ferrell will be in it. And I'd go check it out. I mean, it seems like it would be a pretty funny movie. So get ready for that one. Old school coming to theaters near you. It's not exactly dinner table conversation. But if you're a guy who's noticed maybe your energy or your drive or your performance isn't exactly what it used to be, you're not the only one, and there are real solutions out there. Blue Chew makes it easy, works fast, it lasts, and right now you can try it free for a whole month. All you have to do is go to bluechew.com, answer a few questions, consult a licensed medical provider, and if you're approved, your prescription ships right to your door in just a few days. Made right here in the USA, and the entire process happens online. So they're, you know, uncomfortable doctor visits. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through the face-to-face conversations. You don't have to wait around in the pharmacy waiting for them to call out your very awkward prescription. Right now, your first month of Blue Chew is free. Just use the promo code STU at checkout. Pay $5 for shipping. That's it. You can make things better in the bedroom with Blue Chew. Head to BlueChew.com for details and safety info. If you go to BlueChew.com, use the promo code STU. It's BlueChew.com, promo code STU. Had a great time this weekend. I took my kids to go see Weird Al, which, I mean, was it for me mostly? Of course. But it was great. And I will say, if you happen to be a type of person who wants to get away from some of the craziness in the world, what a great freaking night. I mean, the guy's 65. He's still, I mean, he's doing Fat. He did all of his songs, million costume changes. I don't know how he had so much energy. It was fantastic. And if he's in your area, definitely worth the time. And I had a great time with my daughter Ainsley as well, who we dressed up in Weird Al wigs and Hawaiian shirts because, yeah, my son was there too. He just wouldn't dress up with us. So he luckily got cropped out of the pictures. That's, I think he was happy with that decision.